Good evening. Our passage this evening is from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, but I'm going to start the reading a few verses earlier. I'm going to start with the last two verses of the famous Hall of Faith chapter of Hebrews 11. So I'll start with Hebrews 11, 39, and we'll go through chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that, apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, so this is our passage that we're actually focusing. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this familiar passage contains great encouragement for us to endure by following Jesus' example. Would you please use it to give us endurance and joy as we run the race that is marked out for us? Help us to understand and be encouraged by your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You have most likely heard the name Usain Bolt. He's the world record holder for the 100-meter sprint in running. His world record is impressive for his amazing top speed. Fastest man in the world. But Kenya's Sebastian Sawe, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not, is another kind of fast. He is the world record holder for the fastest marathon, the 26-plus mile race. He set the record at the London Marathon on April 26th of this year, coming in under 2 minutes. I can remember growing up, people were saying it's impossible that anyone could go below two hours. Did I say 2 minutes? 2 hours. Yeah, that would really be impressive. impossible that people could be below 2 hours, but several people have now done that. Okay, so Bolt and Sawe are both of these runners needed grit to get to where they were, clearly. But there's something about the grit that endurance of the marathon requires compared to the grit of sprinting. And I understand that it's hard work to sprint, but there's something about running for 2 hours straight. It comes out to something like a 4-minute 30-second mile for 26 miles in a row. It's just insane. Anyway, so the idea of endurance tends to impress us a lot. People that just somehow have the grit to hang in there for a long, long time. There are other kinds of endurance as well. So things like keeping a house in order when you have several small children is something like a marathon. Passing your classes year after year can be like a marathon. Fighting against temptation can take endurance like a marathon. In this wonderful passage, focusing on Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, the author points back to the previous chapter with the word therefore. Very first word of this passage. This passage comes immediately after the Hall of Faith, where the author has been showing how the great people of God throughout history accomplished what they did. These heroes held on to faith in God despite the great suffering that they endured for doing it. Not only that, But Hebrews 11:39 tells us that none of these heroes of the faith received the promise during their lifetime. Our passage today tells us why they could and we can hold on to the faith in God in spite of all the difficulties. So I'm going to have three parts of this. The first one is the examples. That's verse one, the examples. The second part is the exemplar. That's verse two, the exemplar, as in the prime example. And then three, fix your eyes, and that's verse two. So one point on verse one, 2 points on verse two. The examples, the exemplar, and fix your eyes. All right, let's start with the examples. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So our author is asking us to picture a grueling race, maybe in an auditorium, like a Roman auditorium or something like that. And we are pictured as the runners in the race. The cloud of witnesses are the heroes in the hall of faith that chapter 11 talked about in the chapter before this one. Now, when I was preparing this sermon, I assumed that the cloud of witnesses would be the spectators that are cheering us on. That is pretty much what the English seems to be saying. This interpretation might be right. There's some disagreement, but a lot of reliable commentators understand these witnesses a little bit differently than that. This scenario will help us to understand how this other interpretation might work. Have you seen the Phoenix roller coaster at Knoebels? I'm sure you have, a lot of you have, and most of you have probably ridden on it. Imagine a friend invites you to ride, but you're too scared. You're like, no way, there's no way, I'm gonna die. So your friend takes you to the place where people are just getting off of the ride, and you can see roller coaster load after roller coaster load of people coming in safely, getting out, and not only being safe, but gushing about how amazing the ride was, right? Okay, these people getting off, their safety is testimony that the ride is safe and that the ride can be trusted. So they're something like the cloud of witnesses testifying that God is faithful and that he keeps his promises. Their witness of God's faithfulness and their trust in God's promises can encourage us to persevere in trusting him too. In light of all of these faithful believers who testify that God is faithful, the author says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." Runners in a race don't want any extra weight. During the very short time that I was on the track team in high school, a runner who didn't try their hardest was said to be sandbagging it, as if you're carrying a bag of sand around the track with you. The author says that sin weighs us down, kind of like that bag of sand would, weigh us down, and it hinders our path to the finish line, to being able to reach the finish line. Have you ever felt that sin clings to you tightly? What a horrible feeling that is. In the end, sin cannot overcome a true Christian, but it can make us feel like we're useless. That's one reason why the author tells us, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Endurance endurance. This is what all the heroes in the Hall of Faith had in common. They had troubles, they had sorrows, they had setbacks far beyond what most of us are going to ever have to encounter or experience. They wavered at times, sometimes greatly, but in the end, they all endured. One interesting thing I noticed here is that the main point of the race is to endure and to finish well rather than to beat the competition. The length and the obstacles in my race may be different than those in yours. One of us may finish before another one. We might say, run that specific race that is set before us. Maybe that's one way we could read, run the race set before us. Run your race that's set before you. And as we run with fellow Christians, we can help each other to finish well. We can encourage, we can exhort, we can pray for, we can worship with, and we can live with each other and help each other in that way. But the very best thing we can do is to endure is to look to the best example of endurance and faith, and that's Jesus. So that brings us to point number two on our outline, the exemplar, or the perfect example, Jesus. Some of the people making up the cloud of witnesses were named, but most of them were anonymous. But the author of Hebrews now tells us how to run the race set before us. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look to Jesus. Jesus himself is the supreme witness. He endured by trusting God the Father in all things. He testified throughout his life that God is faithful and he keeps his promises. We look to him or fix our eyes on Jesus in a unique way. There are many examples and witnesses of faithful living, but only one, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The word for founder in this passage could be translated as pioneer, trailblazer, or originator. Most commentators think it's perfecter of our faith. Most commentators think the faith part is that he founds and perfects is not just belief, but it's the living out of belief. It's living a life of faith. Jesus was the founder, the pioneer, the trailblazer. His life showed us what faith, what sinlessness, faithfulness in suffering, and true love should look like. And he showed the outcome of such a life as he was lifted up to heaven in glory. He broke the trail, and we, his people, can follow in his wake. That's a little bit of a mixed metaphor, but sorry. He leads many sons to glory. That's Hebrews 2:10. We can run our race with confidence, knowing that the one who first ran and completed the race has already secured our victory. Jesus is also the perfecter of our faith. As one commentator says, our faith, which has its beginning in him, is also completed in him. He is both the start and the end of the race. He's also the supreme witness who has already run the race and has overcome. Since that is true, he's able to bring his own people to safety, bring his own people safely to the finish line, to the glory of God. Let's look at the perfect example Jesus set for us. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Remember, I mentioned that each of us has a unique race that only we can run. Our job is to run our particular race with endurance so that we reach the finish line and get promoted to glory. God set before Jesus a much more difficult and tragic race, but also one of overwhelming glory. In his race, Jesus obeyed his Father perfectly. He lived in perfect communion with the Father. He loved perfectly everyone he encountered. He lived the life we should have lived. But in his race, Jesus also encountered hatred and violence and shame and death. He died from the torture of the cross. In verse 2 of our passage, we're told that he did this for the joy that was set before him. What does Jesus see as joy? Joy for Jesus, and it should be for us, is honoring and obeying God. Joy is personal relationship with the Father. Joy is redeeming all those the Father has given him. Joy is personal relationship with all the redeemed. Joy is bringing many sons to glory. John says in John 6:37 through 39, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." Jesus rejoices in everything in that passage. Every phrase in that passage is something that Jesus rejoices in. We, unlike Jesus, have failed to obey God perfectly, but Jesus obeyed for us. We all deserve to die for our sins, but Jesus died on the cross for us. We get his perfect, faithful obedience. He gets the punishment for our sin in the great exchange. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus saw even the shame of the cross, a punishment only the worst offenders in the Roman world needed to suffer, as an opportunity for joy. The joy that was set before him. Creation, the fall into sin in Genesis 1, the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, the suffering of the cross, all of this was God's plan from the beginning. And Jesus took the weight of the world on his shoulders, bearing our sin as he hung on the cross. We fell into sin and we need rescue. We need forgiveness of sin and the restoration of fellowship with God. And Jesus loved us so much, despite this, that he went to the cross. He did it for the joy set before him. The suffering, the shame, the wrath weren't the joy. We're not the joy. Jesus's joy is the result of enduring these things. The result is glory and honor and praise for Jesus. And the result of Jesus' work for us is redemption and new life for those who put their trust in him. And one day we will share the glory that Jesus won for us. That brings us to point 3, look to Jesus. The author of Hebrews asks us to look to Jesus as we run our race. He is the perfect example, our exemplar. He asks us to do the same thing Jesus did when he was running his race. Like Jesus, we should endure hardships of all kinds because of the joy set before us. How can Christians fix our eyes on Jesus? By looking to the joy set before us. How can we do that? When you are weighted down with guilt and shame for your sin, rejoice in his love for you. He took the punishment for your sins and has credited you with his own perfect righteousness. That's one thing we can do to fix our eyes on Jesus by looking to the joy set before us. Here's another one. When you feel like finishing the race is too hard, fix your eyes on Jesus, who has already blazed the trail for you, and rejoice that he has said, "Of those whom you have given me, I have not lost even one." He delivers all of his people safely. When you feel like life is too hard, rejoice that Jesus cares deeply for you, and fix your eyes on him who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There are many promises of God that have not yet been fulfilled. The greatest of these might be that Jesus will come again to restore all things to the way he intended them to be. May we add our testimony to the cloud of witnesses that our children and grandchildren can benefit from. And may we have faith that looking to Jesus is the only way to true and glorious joy. If you have never fixed your eyes on Jesus and seen the joy set before you, put your trust in him now and look to him. Christians, finish your race well, like a champion marathon runner, by fixing your eyes on Jesus, always remembering the great joy set before you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for Jesus' perfect life and his willingness to go even to the cross. Thank you for all the faithful believers who came before us and their witness that you are good and that you always keep your promises. Help us to remember the joy set before us, eternal life, joy, and fellowship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.